from Psalm 29, and it says this: "You divine beings, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bow down to the Lord in holy splendor. The Lord's voice is over the waters. The glorious God thunders. The Lord is over the mighty waters. The Lord's voice is strong. The Lord's voice is majestic. The Lord's voice breaks cedar trees. Yes, the Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon jump around like a young bull, makes Syrian jump around like a young wild ox. The Lord's voice unleashes fiery flames. The Lord's voice shakes the wilderness. Yes, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice convulses the oaks, strips the forest bare. But in his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the floodwaters. The Lord sits enthroned king forever. Let the Lord give strength to his people. Let the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So sometimes the lectionary gives us passages that make us want to say, that just isn't going to work right now. And in light of the way that things have been going in our world lately, I think that Psalm 29 is one of those passages. In the midst of an ongoing pandemic that's filled us with anxiety over health and safety, that's brought about financial and occupational stress that has resulted in so many deaths, and that has added the mental stress of conspiracy theories, in the midst of fear and uncertainty in these unprecedented times, in the very same week that there was an insurrection at the United States Capitol, the lectionary hands us Psalm 29. The lectionary hands us a psalm about how great and powerful God is. The lectionary hands us a psalm that tells us God is in control. In light of this past week alone, I think it's tempting to look at Psalm 29 and scoff. This psalm leaves us with some questions, like, if God is so powerful, then where is God in the midst of all of this? If God is in control, then why doesn't God put a stop to these terrible things? How can we shout glory to a God who doesn't seem to want to intervene? And I think that these are all fair questions to ask, but they're certainly uncomfortable questions to consider. If God really is everywhere, then where is God in the pandemic? Where is God in the political and civil unrest? Where is God when we suffer? And I think that we're certainly allowed to ask these questions. And I think that we're allowed to simply sit with the pain that these questions bring. But I also think that we're allowed to attempt to find answers to them. But when we're finding answers to them, I think that we need to be careful to avoid what I like to call the Sunday school answers. These are answers that are too simple, answers that brush aside our pain a little too easily. One example of a Sunday school answer is that God is in control, so don't worry about it. And the idea that things are out of our hands and that God is the one that is in control can be a comforting thought. But this is a bold statement that doesn't properly communicate God's character. The problem with this statement is that it dismisses our pain. It dismisses evil. It ends good conversations before they can even start because it doesn't give us permission to wrestle with these kinds of questions. This statement attempts to provide an easy answer for a very complicated, very messy question to which there are no easy answers. And another Sunday school answer that goes along with the idea that God is in control is that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. And again, this answer can be comforting, but it can also imply that if only we were weaker, then we would not have to suffer so much. This answer might make us feel a little bit better when we think about it, but it's incompatible with the God who is in the business of peacemaking. It does little to comfort a family who just lost a loved one to COVID-19. It does nothing to ease the anxiety of those living in the midst of unrest at the Capitol. And to be frank, this statement simply isn't true. It implies that God causes pain and evil, just not too much for us to be able to handle. This statement is not true because some people do experience too much pain and evil. That's what trauma is all about. Some people do experience death. Some people are killed, and some people experience such profound trauma that they are never the same again. The idea that God doesn't give us more than we can handle simply isn't true. And another common Sunday school answer that I think we might give is that no matter what, God is still good. And while this statement certainly is true, it simply isn't enough to say in response to the deep suffering that we're still experiencing. We can say God is good, but it doesn't feel like God is good when someone we love is on a ventilator. We can say God is good, but it doesn't feel like God is good when you're the overworked nurse who desperately wants to rest and yet feels like there's no end in sight. And we can say that God is good, but it doesn't really feel like God is good when we take a look at the news from this past week alone. I don't think Psalm 29 is a Sunday school answer to suffering. Psalm 29 wasn't really written for the sake of addressing suffering, and yet we are suffering. The lectionary hands us this psalm when we are in pain, and we read this and we're left wondering what on earth we are supposed to do with it. Because how can we do what Psalm 29 says? How can we sing along with it in the face of our world right now? People might say God is in control, or God doesn't give you more than you can handle, or that God is good, but these answers are not in Psalm 29. And these answers are not helpful. In fact, I would say that more often than not, they cause more harm than good to people who are suffering. I don't think that the point of this psalm is to simply tell us that God is in control, or that God doesn't give you more than you can handle, or that no matter what, God is still good. When we take a look at the state of our world right now and we ask, where is God? I don't think any of these answers work. I think that if reading Psalm 29 tells us nothing else, it tells us that sometimes we just don't understand God. We don't understand how God can be as powerful as this psalm says, and yet all of these things can still be happening. We don't understand how God's voice can be over the waters, how God can break the cedars, how God can unleash fiery flames and shake the wilderness, and yet God cannot seem to step in and magic away all of the fear and uncertainty and suffering that seems to have overtaken our world today. We know that God has promised to restore all of creation and to make all things new. We know that God has promised shalom, but we don't understand how that is possible given the state of things. And sometimes admitting that we don't know has to be enough. Psalm 29 doesn't give us a Sunday school answer to the question, where is God when we're suffering? But it does remind us of who God is, no matter what is going on around us. It does remind us that God is still present in the world. It does remind us that God is still at work. And it reminds us that God still has a mission. And with God's help, we are a part of that mission. The lectionary gave us Psalm 29 in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of fear and uncertainty, and in the midst of insurrection. The lectionary gave us Psalm 29 today, which is a holy day celebrating baptism. The lectionary gives us Psalm 29 on the day that we remember the baptism of Jesus by John and when we are to remember our own baptism vows. And at our church, Scottsdale First, we speak a series of vows whenever someone is baptized. These are based on old baptismal vows. They're words that many in the church across traditions have spoken. And we renew these commitments every time someone is baptized, and we also renew them every year on Baptism Sunday. Some of these vows ask the questions, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And we respond to these questions with the answer, I will, with God's help. Where is God in all of this mess and pain? We might hear an answer in Psalm 29 by saying that God is in all of this mess and pain. Psalm 29 tells us that God has not left the midst of any of this. Where is God? God is in the suffering. God is in the joy, and God is in all of us. As we affirm in our baptismal vows, we seek and we serve Christ in all people. Where is Christ in all of this? Christ is in the suffering. Christ is on a ventilator. Christ is the nurse with blistered hands because he has to wash his hands and put on gloves over and over and over again. Christ is the doctor when she has to tell another family that death has taken a loved one. Christ is the child who cannot even go to the hospital to say goodbye to their dying mother. Christ is the cashier who fears for her well-being and for the well-being of her immunocompromised family members. Christ is the retail worker who's already been yelled at 5 times today by different people because they didn't want to have to wear a mask, and all he was trying to do was his job and enforce store policy. Christ is the teacher who has to adapt daily and sometimes even hourly to maintain correct health and safety procedures. Christ is at the United States Capitol fearing for his own life and safety and for the well-being of those whom he loves. Christ is present with someone who has lost faith because of religious trauma, because they heard Sunday school answers 1 too many times. Christ is in the silence and the pain of the unanswerable questions. But Christ is also in the moments of hope and joy in all of this. Christ is in the celebration when someone has recovered from COVID-19. Christ is in our moments of hope for the recovery of those whom we love. Christ is our parent who we can only talk to over FaceTime right now. Christ is in the FaceTime call. Christ is the team of scientists who have worked day and night to develop safe and effective vaccines. And Christ is in all of us. Psalm 29 tells us that God gives us strength and God blesses us with peace. Christ has always been in the business of peacemaking, and that makes us peacemakers. And we are able to be peacemakers with God's help. The key words in our baptismal vows are "with God's help." These words match the ending of this psalm. Let the Lord give strength to his people. Let the Lord bless his people with peace. We cannot be the hands and feet of Christ on our own. We cannot be peacemakers on our own. We are peacemakers only with God's help, with God's strength, and with God's peace, even when someone doesn't realize that God is the author of all peace. We are able to have the strength to see, to stand against, and to transform the fallen structures of our world only with God's help. We love as Christ only with God's help. We proclaim the good news of Christ only with God's help. We love our neighbor as ourselves only with God's help. And we strive for justice and peace and protect the dignity of all people only with God's help. This is our call unto holiness. It's not that we are peacemakers because we make ourselves peacemakers, but that we are able to be peacemakers with God's help. That God not only desires for us to be peacemakers and to participate in God's mission of shalom, but that God is the one who actually makes it possible. Psalm 29 doesn't tell us that God is too powerful or too busy to care about us. It also doesn't tell us to discount the reality of suffering because God is in control. Instead, Psalm 29 tells us that the God of all power and might continues to be in the business of peacemaking. And that beautiful mission of peace includes all of us. So at a first glance, Psalm 29 may appear to be one of those passages that simply doesn't work given the state of things. But I think that when we really consider the implications of this psalm, we find that not only does it work, it's exactly the reminder that we need to hear. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. We are called to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to strive for justice and peace among all people and to respect the dignity of every human being. And we can do all of these things with God's help. We live into this call when we speak words of peace and unity instead of words of hatred and division. We live into it when we don't promote a political agenda, but instead we pray, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." And we live into this call when we recognize the power of the one who makes it possible for us to live into it in the first place. Let's pray. God of love, it is your desire that we would be peacemakers. It is your desire that your shalom would become our reality in all of creation. And it is you who enables us to be peacemakers. May we begin to see where you are in the midst of all of this mess and pain. May we begin to see you in the suffering and in the joy and in one another. Teach us to love as you would love and to serve as you would serve. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.